If you like to follow along, the little sermon notes and fill in blanks, that was on one side of that half sheet for today's sermon, which is based on that reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. I reread verse 7 and 8. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love erases mistake after mistake after mistake. And it is, firstly, that love of God in Christ Jesus to us, who erases our sins, gives us a fresh start each time. Each time we confess our sins to God our Father, He forgives us. It is a fresh start always. This reading from Peter struck me in a number of ways. There's so many advices and directions for Christian living that apply to us, Christians of all ages, but certainly us today in our age, in our lives. We remember the conditions of Peter. He was a leader, a recognized leader of the disciple. And oftentimes he's quoted in the Gospels, saying up something, speaking up. And yet, it's also very clear in the Gospels, he's a sinner. He's a leader and a sinner. He knows what he's talking about. He himself has sinned against our Lord Jesus, as recorded in his betrayal, his denial of Jesus, and other sins he committed. But yet, he was a chosen apostle, forgiven by Christ, appointed by Christ to lead the church, to teach, to write two epistles that we have, 1 and 2 Peter. And later in his life, he was a leader who took care of suffering Christians. And he himself suffered. Jesus prophesied at the end of John that Peter would go to a place he did not want to go and he would have his arms stretched out. It was a prophecy speaking of Peter's death, of a death on a cross. And indeed, Peter did die on a cross, according to writing of the early church fathers. And even he told his persecutors to nail him upside down, hanging upside down on a cross, because he was not worthy to die in the same way as Jesus died. And the time of Peter, in the 60s AD, towards the end of his life, there was a lot of persecution in the church. And he writes the church these words to those people in those days: you are going through trials in a fiery time. And that is the situation they found themselves in. Persecuted in some areas of the Roman Empire, persecuted by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and other places, persecuted by the Roman Empire, the powerful Roman Empire. And so Peter writes to these Christians who are sometimes running away from persecution, trying to find a place to live, trying to find work, suffering for the name of Jesus. He writes them. And as I looked at this passage, you could divide it differently, but this seemed to be a good way to understand it, in the parts of the divisions I have there. In all conditions, whatever's happening in our life, we live as a child of God. And what does Peter say? He says, always be ready for Jesus to return in glory. Always be ready for him to return. If we're ready for him to return in glory, well, we're ready for our own death. Peter himself was expecting Jesus to come with glory and power, and so has the church for 2,000 years. But we're ready. Always ready. and continuing to worship and pray. It's interesting, he says there in verse 7, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. For the sake of your prayers, be sober-minded and self-controlled. Have your mind set, not going off here and there and following this, but have it set, sober-minded, self-controlled, for the sake of your prayers. And he's talking about there, for the sake of your worship, because it would pray at worship. For the sake of your worship and prayers, keep sober-minded. So that we're not off wild, worrying about this and worrying about that and forgetting all about church, but rather for the sake of your worship and prayers, keep level-headed, sober-minded. He says, we should love one another earnestly. Love covers a multitude of sins. We love one another despite our sins. We sin against each other and against God many times. My wife will tell you, I am not the holy, perfect human being that has no sins on my own. I have sins. My children will tell you that too. But in Jesus, they are forgiven. And so Peter is telling the Christians, love one another, forgive one another. You're all forgiven in Christ. So love one another in that way. Forgive one another in that way. As you're waiting for Jesus to come, love one another. This covers a multitude of sins. And he talks there about giving hospitality to one another without grumbling, taking care of one another without grumbling. The situation they were finding themselves in was there were scattered Christians. Many were driven out of Jerusalem or where there were strongholds of Jewish leaders against Christ, against Christians. And some of them, they had to leave their homes, leave their businesses, leave their farms, and they had to go to new places. Where would they go for safety? Who could they trust? Fellow Christians. He talks about the hospitality there to give to fellow Christians who are in trouble. And don't grumble about it. But rather know that God is the one who takes care of us, so we will also take care of one another in Christ. So even in the time of suffering, even in the time of persecution, take care of one another. Have hospitality for one another. And without grumbling. With those directions and advice from Peter, then he also speaks about using the gifts that God has given to each one of us, different to each of us. And he doesn't have a long list there, but it is comprehensive. It covers a lot. He says to, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, various gifts to different people. He says in verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. If you're a teacher, if you're a speaker of God's word, then speak as the oracles of God. Let it be, let it come out. Be a blessing to others. And he says there, continuing, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Now that serves covers a lot of things. There's other lists in Scripture of how we serve one another. But what's powerful right here in the general term, serve one another, he says, as one who serves by the strength of God. When we serve one another, it is the strength of God in us doing that. Peter reminds us. There are times in our Christian life when we are physically weak, when we are very tired in our mind. Sometimes you're too tired, you can hardly think. You just need to rest. And you need to rest. Peter's reminding us, remember, the strength of God is in you. So don't be afraid. We can serve one another with our different gifts, and that is the strength of God coming through us. He says that we're doing all this in verse 11. Now, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In all these things, we're glorifying God in the name of Jesus. That next little section there, verses 12, 13, and 14, is just summarized very quickly in that last point. Don't be surprised at trials and sufferings and insults for the sake of Jesus. He's telling the Christians he is writing to at his time, so we shouldn't be surprised at this. When we suffer for the name of Christ, when we're insulted for the name of Christ, when we have trials, this is going to happen. It happened to Jesus himself. Jesus himself said, if they have done this to me, so they will also do it to you. But rather, he says, Peter says there, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Those sufferings, those insults, those trials that we have in the name of Christ, it shows that we are Christ. For somebody has recognized Christ in us, and that unbeliever wants to persecute us for one reason or another, but he has seen Christ in us. And that is a blessing, that we would be seen as a Christian. That person is a Christian. That person is different. That person goes to church. That person loves people, and I know he's a Christian. This is a blessing to be recognized as a Christian. That last verse there, and in the Bible classes, both in Luke and in Acts, as we go through verses, verse by verse, it amazes me anew how many times the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, is mentioned. It's mentioned in verse 14 again, the Trinity, that last verse in that reading, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, there's a Son, you are blessed because the Spirit, Holy Spirit of glory, and of God, God the Father, rests upon you. The Trinity blesses. Even if we're insulted for the name of Christ, Peter says, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, the Spirit of glory and of God the Father rests on you. The whole Trinity is in our lives. God knows what we go through each day or each year or each part of our life. And he calls us to be ready to worship him, to love one another, and to take care of one another. He knows. He knows. So whatever we might be facing, keep praying, keep worshiping, keep loving one another. Keep taking care of each other without the grumbling. Ask for forgiveness when you do grumble. And we are ready for Jesus. We are ready. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you have made us your sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these teachings from St. Peter. Help us to think about them and how they apply in our lives. And help us not to lose faith, whatever's happening, that we may not lose faith in Jesus, but even our faith may be so strong that people would recognize us as Christians. We thank you for all these things you're doing for us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.